nachos, amigos, and welcome to Record Breakers, assaulting your ears with the sibilances and pops. I'm Petey Rave, here with you, and I'm hooked on water.
Phonics?
Mainly.
Are you hooked on phonics?
It worked for me.
Barely. I'm more booked on phonics, but yeah.
Maiden book, brother.
Yeah. My accentuate my sexuality. And here with me on this musical journey, on this podcast.
No, it's not Journey.
Different talk about music. On this little book club for music that we do is my team, my squad, my crew. We've got David.
I've had Virtual Insanity by Jamiroquai stuck in my head for the last week. Please send help.
Yes. We've got Matt.
Yo.
Yes. And we've got Brett.
I turned the conveyor belt off. Hi.
Yes.
I'm going virtually insane as well.
Yeah.
That wasn't a joke.
Yes. Now I'm going to have virtual insanity in my head, and I'm going to be conveyor belting all through my house wearing my Cat in the Hat hat. And like, yeah.
The one thing I remember of Jamiroquai was
Encarnacion got.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
One of the things I remember of Jamiroquai is when black comedians would say if the lead singer was black, he wouldn't need the conveyor belt.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
But yeah. That was one of the things back in the day. But we're not talking about Jamiroquai. Or virtual insanity. Not yet. Eventually we'll get to it. That's for sure. But we're talking about an album this week. We're talking about an album provided by Brett. Brett, what have you brought for us this week?
So I brought an album that almost anybody on this continent has heard pounded into the dirt. It's a little band from Beantown called Boston, and it's their album Boston.
Yes.
It's the one what has the spaceship.
Yeah.
That doesn't narrow it down too much.
I know. it's the one with the guitars that sound that way.
Yeah, exactly.
Also doesn't narrow it down at all.
Yeah, no. Let's talk about this album. Let's talk about expectations. David, what expectations did you have coming into this album?
Well, I can definitely say that I knew the first two tracks, because everyone knows the first two tracks of this album. So generally, I was expecting some really well-produced and well-engineered classic rock. And I feel like I got that. I feel like I got someone who is more of a guy who looks at music as something to process and engineer. As opposed to something that is felt out. But I think we got a really, really, really enjoyable rock album from it.
Mm-hmm. Matt, what were your expectations coming into this album?
This was another album from my fabled Half Price Books find.
Oh.
I don't remember. I don't know if this was from the $1 or $2 section. I may have paid full half price for this, which is like $5 or $6.
Wow.
So I'm familiar with it.
A whole fiver.
A whole fiver, man. Plus tax. I have a lot of respect
for
Tom Scholz. I know. I have a lot of respect for Tom Scholz because he's a musician. He's an engineer. He designs his own equipment and stuff, and that's really cool. And, you know, there's something that I admire about that. And I also feel like I'm being assaulted with sound anytime I listen to this album. It's a lot. And so because of that, even though I have it, I don't listen to it that much. So I was curious to see whether my opinion would change given a year or two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To be fair, I don't think I ever have to listen to this album ever again. It just lives in my head because I've heard it so many damn times.
Yeah.
It's just like classic rock radio it does things to your brain.
Yeah, I've definitely heard the entire A side of this album.
Friends don't let friends binge on classic rock.
Exactly. I mean, they play literally every song on this album on rock radio to some in degree, the Midwest.
Yeah. Yeah. And have for literally 4 decades.
It's one of those rare albums. Like, yeah, they play them all.
Yeah, I'm very I'm familiar with the A side and vaguely familiar with a couple of songs of the B side.
It's
maybe.
Like this album and Led Zeppelin 2. Like, just all of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I had some idea of what we were expecting. So, but I'm looking forward to discussing what we got, which is pretty much what we were expecting.
Well, you have a relationship with some Tom Scholz gear in your life. Aren't you a proud owner of the Rockman headphone amplifier?
Yeah. Somebody.
I thought you had one, Petey.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, it was the thing the size of a Walkman that you plug your headphones into as a headphone amplifier. I thought for sure that was in one of your bag of.
I have that Zoom recorder and
that old Roland guitar.
Oh,
Zune as in Zune.
Maybe a guitar amplifier by Rockman.
Yeah, because like in the era of like the Walkman,
I don't think I had it with me.
Because I could have sworn that you had in the old days of us talking that you had the clip onto your belt Walkman style made by Tom Scholz.
I have I think well I don't know if I have, but I had I think the Rockman it's a guitar amplifier well like a
yeah the
like
Ace private,
like the little like mini amp maybe or something like that that it's I got one time Ace. Randomly the Rockman Guitar Ace
yeah
I think something like that I got it at a Guitar Center to try to like play my that Roland like that I had finally strung at some point I never learned how to play it but yeah but I had
also
it
I'm looking at the control panel for the Rockman headphone amplifier, and I like that there is a slider switch that has the positions echo off, normal, and chorus off.
Oh,
so I can only assume that means that normal is echo and chorus turned on.
Yes. That is great. That is awesome. The default position in all rock.
Having listened to Boston would explain a lot.
Yeah. Let's talk about this album musically. Brett, how would you describe this album musically? What would be the theme elements?
I mean, it really like there's some Tom Scholz talk that we're gonna have at some point. Like the guy,
I'm not gonna let you guys ignore Brad Delp. I'm just right now.
There are harmonies that are done with more than just the guitars that are impressive, and they also they can hold notes with their vocals too. So like you're dealing with like this album's 45 years old, yeah. So we're talking like this is back when music gear was not dependable, and the guy made the stuff to make the sound that he wanted. In fact, I have a visual aid here. This is a Tom Scholz Power Soak Power Attenuator.
Oh yes.
Look at that blue. That blue is so iconic that other people, for like their stuff, make things blue as well. So this power attenuator thing I had in my hand is a thing that takes an old amplifier, lets you turn that Marshall up to 11, and you turn a knob to make it not be loud. So you can overdrive the hell out of your Marshall without like being like heard a mile down the road, and that you can play with that a little bit. I think we've mentioned there's some chorus that gets used and sustainers. In fact, there's if you look at the Tom Scholz Rockman gear, they're the sustainor and the echo box. Those things, you know, they're iconic. They do the thing. They are the reason that the sound of the guitar sound like this. And if you go out and buy one, you too will sound exactly like Boston, whether you want to or not. It's kind of the, it's like, I watched a demo of a guy playing with the chorus box, and he played nothing but Rush songs. Didn't say it in the title that he was a Rush guy. Didn't say anything about Rush, but it's just, you know,
was
that
this you, Brett? Was this actually you?
I would like to play around with some of that stuff. It'd be neat if I had it, but there are some tones like this is laughable. How like, because every car commercial that you've ever heard is that guitar bend, held note, and a little beep-a-deer at the end of it. Like it sounds awesome in 1976. Yeah. It's kind of a gimmick now, but it's neat. I mean, the guy's a MIT grad. He was an engineer at Polaroid. Like, he didn't need to play rock and roll music. He didn't have to fight with electronics, and he made some like blow your pants fucking tone for 70s guitar people. And, you know, thanks to him, like, we've had prog rock bands plugging into his shit for ages. You know, and that's all really neat. Like, it's super awesome. But there is a lot of other things going on this album. We haven't gotten to the rock and roll organ yet. There's rock and roll organ.
Yeah.
There's some good organ.
There's organ licks.
There's some good organ.
The
album has a big fat organ.
I mean, they literally have a boogie song that is nothing but like a guitar going dump a dump a dump a dump a dump. So the organ can just go, you know, like it's great. And then they have like, they have two songs that could probably have been top 10 ever opening tracks. And they didn't open the album. So like there's that, like, holy crap, do they use some cymbals, and can you hear them? Like, and it's not just like there is some abuse of the crash cymbal that we will get into later, but like that ride cymbal's not getting a free ride either. Like it's getting like every beat, like it's just, yeah, it is pretty great. And the vocals are amazing. Like, you know, 70s rock had a lot of vocals. This had vocals, had like a 10 out of 10 mustache attached to those vocals. Like, if you go to Wikipedia and you look at those pictures, mind you, they're terrible. Like, the scans have like hairs on them and stuff. The negatives are dirty. But it's not quite Jens Johansson level of fidelity. But
it was 70s rock, people.
But like, look at the shirts and belt buckles, man. It was a time, and those high notes, like, and the harmonies are great. But like, it is.
I felt like Brett, and I don't know. I'll throw this around the horn too. I felt like Brad Delp, the vocalist on this album. He, in many ways, was reminiscent to my ears of a Paul Rodgers, but with more range. Paul Rodgers, the amazing legendary singer of Bad Company, but Brad Delp was less blue-eyed soul, but more straight rock, because he had the vocal range to do things in. I was just blown away at times.
The thing with the vocals is, it's not like the range is this much. The range is this much. It goes up. It does not go low. The vocals hang out higher than I can talk. And it's amazing.
But he also has a sound and a tone vocally that works so well with this era of rock, to where it's very soulful, but he can still like do those crazy Robert Plant high notes that you would hear back in the day.
Yeah. I mean, he matches the guitar licks. Like, yeah, his vocals are that octave. So it's great. And one last thing, like, today I had a eureka moment of what am I thinking about when I hear Tom Scholz's guitar, like that overdriven, like one size fits all tone. And I'm like, oh, it's kind of like Brian May from Queen. Yeah. Like, it's that, but not with a Vox. Instead, it's a Marshall or a Rockman.
Yeah.
But Yeah, when we get into songs, I'll talk about other things than the guitar, but I wanted to get the guitar stuff out of the way.
The guitar. David, how would you describe this album musically?
I would describe this as quintessential 70s rock. I think that pretty much ties it up in a knot. You want to talk about like big 70s rock albums, that's just kind of mandatory listening. This is probably up there. Again, going back to Brad Delp, the vocalist from Boston, I feel like he might get lost in the shuffle a little bit, but he is super talented. He harmonizes, he sings range where it seems like he can do no wrong. There are points where, like I said, he almost has a Paul Rodgers quality to some of the songs in some of the more ballady moments. And then also he is unabashedly singing like super bombastic rock and roll from the 1970s, and it almost seems effortless for him across the board, and that is something to behold. The entire album is for 1976, and I don't think the album we listened to is a remixed or remastered version. For 1976, this is phenomenally sounding. And I think that if you have some really good headphones, this will be a joy.
Mm-hmm. Matt, how would you describe this album musically?
It is rock and roll. It's 70s rock. You'll find this like Brett already said, you'll find this on every classic rock radio station. It'll be even more compressed than the original album already was because they're broadcasting it over radio. There's very talented guitar playing, very tight twin guitars. The thing I keep coming back to with Boston is just the quantity of production. There's a lot. I'm not even going to make a judgment call at this point on the quality of it, but the quantity is there. If you're looking for a lot of production, this has it. And the vocals are really talented, quite high. It's the vocals are also, they're easy to make fun of.
They're easy to make fun of. Hard to sing at karaoke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hard to sing well.
Yeah, well, yeah, like,
yeah,
you can just go nuts at karaoke, and people do.
Yeah,
you can try.
Yeah. You can certainly try.
Certainly try. Yes.
The Jinx. Effort, Edie.
Boston is a known commodity. This album is that classic rock from the 70s, in particular, like that thing you remember from that time, which is in the mid to late 70s. Like, it is a song you, like Brett said, you hear on the sound you hear on like car commercials and truck commercials, and like your local
yogurt commercials,
your local Toyota dealership advertising their latest financing deals. It is memorable for a reason. It's indelible for a reason because it created a unmistakable sound, and it is fun to listen to. It is fun to just rock out to. And it is fun to like sit down and like actually look at what made it and what made the band their sound and where what they shifted and things like that. Like, I like that in the legacy of section of the Wikipedia, they talk about how the album has been described as a pivot in the transition of mainstream American rock from blues based proto metal to power pop. So they gave us power pop. So without Boston, we wouldn't have OK Go.
All right, then.
I think of this album as arena. Like, yeah. they fill arenas up, and we wouldn't have the same old bands from the 70s filling arenas up today.
Yeah.
If it weren't for the old Arena Brockers from the 70s.
Exactly. Well, we don't have arenas right now anyway, so, you know. Whoa.
I mean, they're there. They're there. They'll be waiting for yes. us. Looking like a grill.
Yeah. But yeah, this is a very much a bombastic arena rock album of 1976. Like, it's the easiest way to sum it up, because you know what you imagine and you know what feel you feel if you've listened to enough radio, which if you're under a certain age, you may not. But I know I have.
Whether you wanted to or not, this is like, yeah.
I mean, I thank goodness they invented burning CDs.
Yeah.
Because that's... I was done.
Clear Channel, let us know. Yeah.
Yeah. I was done. They...
And College Rock.
Yeah. College Station. College Radio. Yeah, let's talk about tracks. Let's talk about key tracks. Brett, what would be some of the key tracks for you?
So, like, historically, More Than a Feeling was a song that I, like, it was like, I skip this shit. I've heard it too many times kind of a thing. And then Rocksmith came out, and then I played it a bunch. And, like, it's one of those songs that if you're playing it, you're having a good time. way more than when you're listening to it. Because you just hold notes like you're Nigel Tufnel. You just go grab a bite to eat, and you're still holding that note, and you're coming back, and you're just wiggling a little bit. It was a good time. But, like, aside from the long sustain, the harmonized vocals are really neat. Like, and it's catchy. It's a well-written song if you want it to be played on the radio. It's the one they chose to open this album with. Let's skip on down to Foreplay, which could have been the opening track.
Never skip Foreplay.
No, Foreplay is like one of people would have a different idea of what kind of album this was if you opened up with it. Yeah.
You never want to skip Foreplay, especially when Orkin is involved.
I mean, this could have been like Screaming for Vengeance, where it's The Hellion, then Electric Eye. Like, it's like one of those, like, you know, and it comes in, it's like the tape fades out. You can just see the producer in the back smoking a cigarette, sliding that fader up, and like, there we go. Like, it's you know, it's definitely one of those. And holy crap, does that crash cymbal get hit? Like, you know, yeah, it is. That crash cymbal, R.I.P., Frank Zildjian, the crash cymbal. Like, he was getting worked. Sustain.
Yeah, I can imagine one of the actors from Almost Famous, with a cigarette just kind of dangling in his mouth, just like leaning over the
gradient brown sunglasses, brown shirt, brown pants, brown leather belt, blue shoes. It was 1976. He drove his AMC Gremlin to work. Like, he's coked up. Like, you know, and, you know, long time. I can, that is a, the opening lick to that song. Like, yeah, I don't even have, I can look at a guitar and see where that goes. Like, it's one of those songs that, like, you know, it's great. But probably my favorite song on this would be Smokin'. It's also they modified a song that was not about smoking drugs to be in one that's definitely about smoking drugs. Yes. But it's a boogie song, like having a straight boogie where the organ gets to play along, where the car's just going, the guitar's just going, you know, and like the organ gets to go, like do all the fills, do it like everything. It's fun, and the guitar almost sounds like it should be on a ZZ Top album. Like, yeah. The rhythm is just like that saturated Marshall tone, which
and the organ, you know, doesn't sound too far off from that either.
I mean, they were pushing that thing like you did in the 70s too, which, you know, God,
it was
like
the 70s.
I mean, I I love me an organ. But I understand why we switched to digital keyboards that do that. But man, it's neat that there was they had to hire somebody to haul that shit around. Like it just the 70s, cocaine fueled. And last but not least, let me take you home tonight. If it's an album from the 70s, you got to have a song about boning people from the crowd. So, you know, it's not quite Lynyrd Skynyrd having two on the same album, but it's up there. So it checks that box.
Yeah. Confirmed. Yeah. David, what would be some of the key tracks for you?
I'm just going to go ahead and say I enjoyed every track on this album, but one, and that's the one I'm going to point out, only because I think it's the low moment of a very strong, complete album, and that's Rock and Roll Band. Normally, I'm willing to give a band a pass on what is obviously kind of a simple, straightforward rock radio single, but this one was almost too stripped down and basic. I felt like hearing this song amongst all the others was it felt kind of tacked on at the end, like the album needed one more track, and this is what Tom Scholz came up with, Rock and Roll Band. It's not a bad track by any means, kind of in the same way Paranoid by Black Sabbath was kind of tacked on at the end and became a mega hit by accident. This song, Rock and Roll Band, was just it doesn't really measure up to the rest of the album, but the rest of the album, quality.
I mean, the song does kind of seem like copy and paste. Yeah. Like, what parts do we have left over?
They have to fill that B side. Like there's physical space to fill in. Like,
yeah.
Matt,
longer organ solos.
Yes, Matt. What would be some of the key tracks for you?
More than a feeling, this is a song that I got called out on for singing in a mocking tone, and I didn't even realize I was doing it. I just had my headphones on, and then somebody said, like, hey, don't quit your day job. And I'm like, well, fine, whatever. Screw you, too. I'm a great singer.
When I try to be. Have you done vocal lessons?
I have.
Cool.
Yeah, when you're making fun of the singing of More Than a Feeling, it sounds like you don't know what you're doing.
kind of like when you're trying to do an Eddie Vedder as a joke.
Uh huh.
Right. Yeah. And you know, there's a nice bit of twin guitar on there, and that's cool. This is. I mean, all of them, but this one in particular, it's, man, that's a lot of production on that album. I'm going to skip Peace of Mind, but I'm mentioning it now only to say I'm skipping it for a reason. Rock and Roll Band, the chorus on that, the first half, it's too similar to the chorus of Peace of Mind to be only two tracks away.
Yeah.
And then... let me skip forward to Something About You, which is not too close at this point, but the intro chord progressions matches that of Peace of Mind.
Yes,
and
1-to-1.
The chorus vocals match that of Rock and Roll Band. So I understand that Tom Scholz had a lot of influence, and he said that classical was a big influence in terms of the power. Maybe he could have done well to take a composition class to learn more than three chord progressions. I don't know. Just a thought.
Daisy caught that too. We were listening. She's like, I thought this was the other song. And I was like, no.
No.
It's three. It's three different songs that are all the same.
Debut album. Debut album. You kind of give it a pass. Debut album.
It all was uphill from here too.
and lastly, Smokin'. This one had a nice shuffle that was fun. It's basically 12-bar blues, which is not a bad thing. I've I've been wanting to write a book claiming that every song is either 12 bar blues or rhythm changes. And there's a fun organ solo. But the thing that I loved on this one was near the end, there's just a harpsichord, which I guess is also we can chalk up to his classical music influences. And I'm pretty sure it was digital, but it was not a... I've heard worse harpsichord sounds.
Was it like a clav, like a one of those like? Yeah, I didn't look that up. It was like a Clavinova, Clavitar, one clavinet. Of those like early.
I don't know.
One of those.
Those aren't real.
Maybe a clavinet. Well, a Wikipedia lists a clavinet among the instruments Tom Scholz played.
Okay. That would be the what I'm trying to think of. Yeah, it. Yeah, a honer.
and to further accentuate his classical music influence. There's also the organ plays this diminished seven sustained arpeggio that eventually resolves, and that's similar to the toccata and fugue that everybody wants to play at haunted houses, and so I guess those are the two classical music influences that I noticed on this album.
Yeah, after the da na na da na 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 da
yeah.
I don't actually da, know da, the arpeggio. Yeah, that.
Yeah.
You guys pretty much covered all the songs. I will say,
not a lot on here.
Yeah, there's not a lot on there.
It's a quick album. It's quick.
It's quicker than
that's with solo stretching it out.
Yeah. If like I said before, the whole A side, you know, is very familiar to people, but in particular, More Than a Feeling and Foreplay, Long Time. And Smoking is a fun, you know, like y'all said, boogie. And it includes Brad Delp getting credits in writing it. So, you know, he showed up and did the thing. If I remember correctly, Let Me Take You Home Tonight also had some of the moments of like nice guy-isms. If I remember correctly, I've got to look it up, but it had a couple of like I forget how many. One of those things, looking back, listening to classic
Statute
songs,
of Limitations, PD. Statute yeah. of Limitations.
I'm not shy.
I'm not indicting it. It's just interesting to look at it in hindsight. Just observe it in hindsight of like, man, how many love songs that dudes wrote. Especially in rock, especially white dudes, were basically nice guy anthems a la Shawn Mendes. What the fuck is that song? I Treat You Better. It's just fun to kind of look things in hindsight.
Classic rock has the statute of limitations.
Exactly. Yeah. So like I said, it's just fun to like look back at things on a lyrical level. But let's bring it back around the horn. Talk about some conclusive thoughts. David, what would be your conclusion on this album as a whole?
This album really flew by, and it was so well done. The good songs are great, and even the lesser songs are still good enough for rock radio. I commend Tom Scholz for being as meticulous and engineer-like as he was with his band. I commend him for that, because he was able to get something really good out of what he wanted, and he managed to fool his record company and record it all in his studio at home. So extra points on that one for fooling the record label and avoiding executive meddling.
Yeah, take that, CBS.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm going to go a little bit off the grid here and say that I think that the real MVP of this album is Brad Delp, the vocalist. He, as I said, he has the tone of Paul Rogers with the range of Robert Plant, which essentially makes him top tier elite as a rock vocalist. The lyrics are a little bit kind of corny cliche, hey, we're a rock and roll band and we're gonna rock all night long, and you know, for the time that's okay, but they make it work. All of this works really, really well. If you are watching That 70s Show, you'll enjoy listening to this album afterwards.
Matt, what will be your conclusion on this album as a whole?
Performance wise, it's great. Great playing, great singing. I have a lot of respect for Tom Scholz as an electrical engineer, guitar player. Well, mechanical engineer, but electrical designer, guitar player. I really don't like the production on this thing. The time spent away from it was not enough for me, I guess. It's just too much. It's weird. It's well mixed. It doesn't have strong loudness war vibes, but every little bit of space is filled. And so you kind of end up with the same result of there's not really any dynamic range.
That chorus effect does fatten everything up in a way that it's almost as if it's filling up more frequencies than it should. Yeah.
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 So there's not that much going on.
Because I love big choruses. I kind of dig that.
I love big chorus effect too.
And you cannot lie.
Exactly. And more than that, though, like they took a Fourier transform of every song, and they're like, there's a little notch right here of frequency that isn't filled. We need to make sure to fill that in. And so it's a lot to listen to.
Yeah. Yeah. I can definitely see that. It could be a lot to listen to, especially like for a more keen ear. It is definitely like, it is meant to blast you with sound and rockin' music and blow you over. And I was okay to go along for the ride, but I can definitely see how it could overwhelm.
I will say this would be great for starting off a road trip. Not the entire album, but like two or three songs to get the road trip going.
Or if you found like an old Sansui in your grandma's attic and you're like, oh, and I got this old JBL, let's hook it up and play something.
Yeah.
And you know I'm listening to Steely Dan for that.
Yeah.
Damn.
But yeah, this album is still a fun listen for a lot, and I think it was a fun listen for me. It is a cool album. It is a fun rock and roll album, and you just kind of like good blasting your car speakers music in addition to good like putting it on your headphones music. It's a nice wall of sound. But yeah, last but not least, Brett, what would be your conclusion on this album as a whole?
So like we've had a couple albums over the last couple episodes. We've had some guitars that like, boy, they loved holding notes. And that's part of the reason that I brought this, because this is almost a parody of how you don't like people. I don't like people going bleh, 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 the whole time. But also, like, it's kind of funny when people hold a note for like half an hour.
Well, it's not a parody if this is like the template.
I mean, kind of like Pink Floyd's does it, but in a better way to me. But
David Gilmour is like incredible.
Yeah, he'll hold a David note Gilmore's and it'll work. And it's a different thing. This is like. Candy. This is a treat of rock and roll, and it's music that it was fun for the guys playing it, and it's cool. Like, it's not. I can definitely wait a long time before I listen to this album again. And that's fine. But I wanted to talk about it because it is one of those albums that like I know front to back. Like, and I didn't even try. And I'm a guitar gearhead, and this is kind of one of those bands that, I mean, the dude fucking made the shit that made that sound, and that's cool. You don't get that every day. But God, if I was like 16 years old and I had to listen to this old man music, it's really
this like, is a quintessential dad rock album.
Yes, this is put it in this your like Corvette prime. That you bought when you midlife crisis car after your
this
divorce.
Is prime dad rock.
This is the genuine
elite
version.
Dad rock.
This is the genuine version of what I think some would joke that Greta Von Fleet is trying to do.
You put on your Air Monarchs and your white socks and your shorts with your T-shirt tucked into it, no belt, and your dad hat, and get to listening to this.
This is boomer rock.
Sunglasses and your sunglasses.
Yes, but they're going to be terrible sunglasses. But this is fun. I had fun looking stuff up. I had fun watching the YouTube. I had fun learning that the clavinet is actually the thing I was thinking it was. And
this is music for people who say it's the fun. YouTubes.
Yeah, it's
unironically.
This is not something that I would not put on. Let Me Take You Home Tonight. If I actually wanted to take someone home tonight, like yeah. it's not that. It's kind
it's
of
what you do for the opposite.
Unless you were. Yes. Unless you were Carl from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
I mean, he's like the drummer from Foghat. Dugga, 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 dugga. But yeah, you know, it's hilariously 1976. And I was happy to talk about it. I'll be done talking about it in about 5 minutes for a long time.
Yes, for such a long time. Yeah, now we get into the last stretch, our main event of the evening, the home stretch, the landing pattern of this spaceship, the moment we've all been waiting for, our haiku reviews. You know, let's get down to the nitty gritty. Haiku numero numero uno. Let's start. David, what is your haiku?
Quality hard rock. It's a hallmark of its time. A nice reminder.
Mm-hmm. Matt, what is your haiku?
Quite dense production. Undeniable talent. Hard time enjoying.
My haiku. A classic rock gem, all made in a dude's basement. Whole thing's a classic. And Brett, lastly, what is your haiku?
This is inspired by a true story. May or may not be of my wife. Sister buys record. One from brother's favorite band? Oops, bought Chicago.
Yes.
That is not wrong city, wrong album.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember
right what, choice.
What movie?
Probably for me.
What movie? There was like a movie or TV show where that was a thing, and that was a joke, but I don't remember. But of Chicago, I don't remember. But yeah, those are our thoughts on Boston. You can of course find it on our Spotify playlist in Boston, but everywhere on our Spotify playlist. Play Record Breakers, the home game. Do your due diligence and your due diligence. Follow along at home. On that Spotify playlist would be next week's record, and that will be provided by Matt. Matt, what have you got for us next week?
I will be bringing a offshoot of the Grateful Dead with the new writers of the Purple Sage and their 1973 album, The Adventures of Panama Red.
I love this already.
Yes. I look forward to this. But you can look forward to that next week. And that'll be next week, and this is this week. And you can find us all over the internet. David is at Call Me DJM. Matt is at MRDW. Brett is at HibbyBearBird, HibbyBitybiBiBbard. I'm at PD Rave. The show's at 4 Record Breakers. That's the number 4 Record Breakers. RecordBreakersPodcast.com. RecordBreakersPodcast@gmail.com. Rebelly.net for listening to other shows. Rebelly TV on YouTube and on Twitch. You can watch us record live. Watch us record this show live. Watch us do D&D with Through the Tomes. Watch me panic DMing a D&D campaign.
Also known as DMing a campaign.
Exactly. So fun times. Commiserate with me, all y'all. And also Astroneer every Thursday. Some space trucking. So come on. And join Come us and follow over there. But yeah, like, share, everywhere you find podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, all places. Like, share, subscribe, do all the things. Until next time, hasta los huevos.
Like Larry Bird in Boston Garden, from downtown Toodaloo, Boston.
I'm staying out of Boston.
That's a good idea.
Good idea.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.